dispatch, Sloan speaking. Yeah, the parade starts at 2. No, the speeches come first. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the park. Arthur Wakefield? I can't answer that. I'm not sure yet. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know there's been some talk, but I just haven't gotten the final word yet. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, it's fine, David Bicentennial. Not at all.
Well, the early bird.
Oh, hi, Faye.
What little worm are you after, David?
I'm on my way to the park to see what the setup is.
Same as usual. Lots of bunting, hard seats, and mosquitoes. Oh, there's one difference.
What's that?
They built a ramp up to the platform for Mr. Wakefield's chair.
I saw it. They wasted their time.
How else could he get up there for a speech?
I don't think that he's going to make that speech.
The hotline from Kate. She hopes he isn't going to make it. I know he is.
What gave you that idea?
He told me.
When did you talk to Wakefield?
Last night.
Look, Faye, I'm covering this story.
No, David. You're sitting on it. Somebody had to move, so I did.
Faye, you had no authority.
I got the news, didn't I? Oh, it wasn't easy. Auntie Isabel wouldn't let me in. Then your girlfriend, Kate, gave me a really hard time. So I came back to the office and called Mr. Wakefield. He said, come right over, my dear.
I want to see that interview.
Oh, you'll have to see it. And the copy of the speech he gave me. And gorgeous Tom Wakefield's picture.
We're not running any of it.
You'd have to have a pretty good reason. It's hot, Dave. It's the whole Tom Wakefield scandal all over again. You don't dare kill it. Not even for Kate.
Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. The following is a paid dramatization.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Well, and that's it, Kate. You can bring Mr. Wakefield up the ramp to the platform. And if he wants to stand, he's got that railing to hold on to.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. You've been very kind.
But Kate!
Hello, David.
Are you here already?
Well, Dad began to worry about the arrangements this morning, so I came down to check.
Well, why didn't you call me? I could have done it for you.
I wanted to get out of the house anyhow. Well, it's a lovely day.
It's rough on you, and I know it.
We thought we had Dad talked out of making this speech. He began to be a little unsure of himself. And then they came
in. She did that without orders.
Well, she's got her job to do, I suppose.
I'm going to stop any publicity about this anyhow.
How can you do that?
How can I? I can see that the news is printed and nothing else. And I'm not going to let Faye make a sob sister field day out of this.
You may not be able to help it. When Dad gets up there dedicating that memorial, talking about how great Tom was, as if nothing had happened, what'll people do? Laugh.
Now, look. This town loves Arthur Wakefield. They'll respect him.
Oh, the older people, maybe. And what about the young, David, and the ones of Tom's age who knew him? There are a lot of boys who've been in trouble, not even as bad as Tom's, and they didn't get out of it the way Tom did. What'll they say?
Kate, you've got to stop torturing yourself.
I guess so. Letting off too much steam, huh?
Look, while he's making that speech, why don't you sit with me?
Thanks. But I can't. I'm sitting up on the platform.
Oh, no.
I told Dad I would.
But why?
I want to.
Come on, Kate. This whole idea is cockeyed. Don't make it any harder for yourself.
David, last night Dad asked me if I was ashamed of having been married to Tom.
Oh?
I said no. Never. And I meant it.
Okay. Have you had any breakfast?
Coffee.
How about lacing it with a couple of jelly donuts? A ham and eggs if Joe's place is open.
You know, you make it sound good.
Let's go.
Think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Finalnet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Officer, officer, please, which way to the Belhaven Park?
Over that way, sir.
Right, thank you.
Say, you look lost. Can I help you?
I think you just might. Where do I buy a ticket for the ceremony?
Are you kidding? The seats are free. All they hope to do is to fill them.
Well, I'll do my part.
I haven't seen you before. Live nearby?
No. As a matter of fact, I was just driving through, and I thought I'd look around.
Well, this is it. The start of our big bicentennial.
Mm-hmm. As a city kid, I haven't seen much of this sort of thing.
Well, we're not exactly firing the shot heard round the world, but it's big for Belhaven. By the way, I'm Faye Bixler of the Belhaven Dispatch.
Oh, well, nice meeting you.
And you?
Anthony Cushing. But no press, please.
That's okay. I'm not always on duty. Where are you from?
Oh, well, I am something of a traveler, I guess. Up from the city right now.
I thought so. I saw the license on the car you parked.
Uh-huh. When does the band start?
They've started. When the mayor gets here, they'll play louder.
And he makes a speech.
Usually number one. This year, however, our leading citizen is making his first public appearance in 3 years. He outranks the mayor. Would you like a front row seat with the press?
Why, yes.
This way.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Miss Bixler. You must excuse me. I think I see someone I know.
I'll save you a seat.
Mrs. Kate Wakefield.
Yes. Oh.
Anthony Cushing. Do you remember?
Of course. I remember the airport when Isabel came in from Paris.
Right.
Oh. What on earth are you doing in Bellhaven?
Oh, well, I was driving north on Route 65, feeling a little sorry for myself on this beautiful day. Saw the sign, Bellhaven, 8 miles, so I just turned off. I'm lucky.
Isabel will be delighted to see you.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Your charming aunt.
She'll be here in about 20 minutes. She's driving my father-in-law over. He's going to make a speech.
Well, I'll be delighted to hear it.
It's for a memorial. This park.
Yes, yes, I remember. Your aunt told me that you had lost your husband.
I'm afraid Isabel does talk.
No, she didn't. I would never have had the opportunity or the pleasure of meeting you.
Well, I hope you like Bellhaven.
I do indeed.
Of course, this week is a little mad.
When is this ceremony over?
Oh, this is only the beginning. There'll be a ball game this afternoon, a torchlight parade after that, and a costume pageant tomorrow.
Well, I seem to have missed something living in the city. Are you involved in all of this?
Oh, no, no. I'm just waiting for Mr. Wakefield.
I see. Tell me, what is that neon red concoction that small boy is selling over there underneath the trees?
Hot pink lemonade.
Local brew?
Completely. It's pretty dreadful.
Uh-huh. Would 20 minutes give us time to put it to a test?
What, yes, I guess so, Mr. Cushing.
Tony, I didn't choose the name, but I hope you'll use it.
Kate!
Oh!
Kate, I've been looking for you.
David, you remember Anthony Cushing you met at the airport.
Yes, of course. How do you
know? Glad to see you.
Kate, Isabel is here.
Oh, they've arrived early.
No, they haven't. Isabel's alone. She wants to see you right away.
What is it?
Just come along, Kate, will you? I'm sorry, Mr. Cushing.
To you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray. This is the Serial Network. Authors Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Authors Studio is brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula or conditioning formula is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Ladies, a very good day to you from me, the author of Vanity Fair, William Makepeace Thackeray. And a very good day, we devoutly hope, for our heroine, Miss Rebecca Sharp. She has departed the school she loathes and drives now with Miss Amelia Sedley to stay with her in London for a short visit. For a longer visit, in fact, a permanent one, if her plan succeeds to marry Amelia's brother, Joseph. He's rich, unmarried. So, as Becky said...
Is there any harm in trying?
I entreat my listeners not to exclaim against such scheming, if Miss Becky has determined upon making this conquest. have we the right to blame her? The task of husband hunting is generally entrusted by young persons to their mamas. Recollect that this unlucky girl has no parent to arrange these delicate matters. But now, in the carriage, with her friend, an alarming question flutters into Becky's mind.
Oh, Lord, why did I tell Amelia Mama was a dancing girl and Papa a drunken artist? She promised to reveal it to no one, but what is she to say about me to Joseph, so he'll think me worthy to be a wife? Well, she'll believe whatever I say. I must think of something. Something.
Becky, you've fallen so silent. Are you sad?
What? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm thinking how I can't repay you for my visit. I've no home to invite you to.
It's no matter, truly.
Oh, it matters dreadfully. Oh, if only my mamma had had a brother to carry on our noble name. He would have kept the beautiful chateau and vineyards in Gascony. I know he would. And I could have brought you there.
But you said that your mamma... Well, I didn't know that...
Was of noble birth? Well, I've never told. I couldn't bear to speak of the terrible tragedy that happened.
Tragedy?
But now you must know all, for now we are dearest friends, and I can keep nothing from you. Are you asking how someone born of a noble family could descend to a dancing girl?
Well, it would be rude to ask.
Oh, ask me anything, dear Emmy.
Ask? Oh, how did she... How could she...
My ancestor's name was Antrochat, an ancient noble name in France. But mind you, I won't pretend my grand-mère and grand-père still had riches. All they had was the great chateau and the vineyards and money to live well enough until the terrible love.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what do you care about all of this? It matters only to me.
Oh, I do care, I do. Oh, please don't stop. The terrible what?
Well, I don't know if I can tell it. Oh, I will force myself. When Mama was 16, she was courted by Papa. He was an Englishman, although not of noble birth, and I will not pretend he was. But he was so handsome and so talented, and Mama begged her parents to receive him. They could deny her nothing, and the courtship flowered and bloomed, and then he could... Grand-mère and grand-père went on a voyage to India.
Like Joe?
Well, yes. Like your brother in India. Oh, if only they'd never gone.
Then something terrible happened there.
An elephant?
Oh, no, not there.
On the ship?
Oh, it sank.
No.
Oh. Well, then what? Where?
They went to Switzerland to take the waters. Grandpapa had a liver complaint, and India had been so hot, they craved the cool mountains.
Well, I never saw my grandparents, Emmy, but Papa said my big green eyes are grandmamas.
Mm. All the same, you know, I look like my mother. Her name was Celestia. How much farther to Russell Square?
We're almost there, and you haven't told me what happened.
Oh?
To your grandmamma and grandpapa.
They fell off a mountain.
What a sly boots is Becky. Not a word of truth, not one. But dear, trusting Amelia believes it all. So, for that matter, does Becky, now that she's told her tragical tale. And mark you this, as she advances in life, those ancestors of hers will increase in rank and splendor. But how, Amelia is bound to ask, did Becky's mother, so nobly born, sink to the quicksand of the stage? You may be sure Rebecca will invent an answer.
Becky, your mamma. How did she...
Marry Papa?
Well, yes.
Oh, well, she just did. Orphaned, alone, no place to live.
No place. Look, there's my house.
Oh. The last one there at the end.
Oh,
Becky, hurry, finish.
The creditors came like locusts. There was no money for 3 years. The grapes in the vineyards had been sour. The creditors took the chateau. Papa took Celeste. They went to Paris. They met a gypsy. The gypsy taught Mama to dance, and that's the story, and don't forget it.
We're home.
Who is that in front? That man?
It's Joe's.
Jones. Joseph Sedley. Perhaps Becky's future. Wait. Has she revised her plan as she looks upon the brother Amelia called Clump? Well, mayhaps stout is a better word. But not yet the right one. Fat. Joseph Sedley, fat, puffy, red-faced, attired in the costume of a London dandy, his person adorned with an apple-green coat, having steel buttons as large as crown pieces, and red-striped waistcoat bulging over his corpulent stomach. At sight of this moon-faced mountain, has Becky changed her mind?
Oh, Annie, he's so handsome.
Do you think so?
Oh, I do like large men. I do.
Oh, look, he's coming to open the carriage.
Well, I'm all blown by the wind. Oh, why didn't I tidy my hair?
Jones, I'm home for good.
Emmy, on my word. Bless my soul.
Oh, he is handsome.
And I've brought Rebecca I told you about. This is Miss Becky Sharp.
Becky, this is Joseph.
Oh, Mr. Sedley, such interesting things I've heard about you.
I say, upon my word...
It's so kind of you to meet us.
Meet?
It was kind, Joseph.
Good gab, Emmy. I'm just going out to dine. Hang it all, I want the carriage. Beg pardon, must go inside a minute. Beg pardon...
He didn't like me. Oh.
He did, Beck. He did. He did. That's the way he shows it. Stammers. He always stammers when he's nervous. And I should have told you, ladies frighten poor Joe's out of his wits.
Oh? Oh. Well, then, the very least I can do for my dear Emmy is to see that her brother isn't frightened for long.
It appears Miss Sharp did not change her mind. Why ever not? Because she has long built for herself a magnificent castle in the air, of which she is mistress, with an indistinct husband in the background. Just so was Joseph indistinct, and may remain so until and if she catches him. Ladies, enough for today. I must have a glass of claret. Becky may not see Joseph clearly, but I can. To observe Becky's maneuvers, you and I shall meet on Monday next. Until then, your obedient servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Farrell. To know you're the best you can be. This is a Serial Network. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance.
Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula or conditioning formula is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Where in the world have you been? I have phoned everywhere, dear.
Oh, down to the village in the hardware store.
Open today, Founder's Day?
Well, just for 2 hours. And since we're going out to the lake, I wanted to get some screening for those windows at the cottage.
Well, forget the lake, forget the cottage. I don't think we're going.
Well, aren't the folks coming? Did Mother call?
They're coming, but we have to change plans. Mrs. Bradley called.
Mrs. Bradley?
Your boss's wife?
Mrs. Bradley called.
And she is out of her mind.
There's no news to me. Boy, that woman drives me up a wall.
Well, today she's going to drive you not only up the wall, but across the ceiling and down the other side, if I know you. It seems that Paul Revere was rushed to the hospital this morning and had his appendix out. Mrs. Bradley is wild. And she wants you to
take
over...
What are you talking about?
Mrs. Bradley said you knew all about it.
I don't know anything about it.
Well, you know Mrs. Bradley's head of the Bicentennial Committee.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
You guess so? She said she came to a Chamber of Commerce meeting, dear, and that you all had a big discussion about today's celebration.
Oh, yes. Well, I didn't pay much attention. She just went on and on.
You don't remember anything about Paul Revere's ride that's going to be reenacted and the Minutemen meeting the Redcoats on the Green? Oh, honey, even the newspaper's been full of all the plans.
Well, honey, you know me. I don't go in for all that stuff, and
I do know you. You know, I bet you sat in that meeting and just made funny remarks to your pals and paid no attention to Mrs. Bradley, didn't you?
Probably. Well, listen, she gets so carried away that she can't...
Mrs. Bradley's sending over your costume. I wrote down the directions for the route you take. Now, what did I do with them? Where are
they? What costume?
I'll have to drive you to Catonsville, where you pick up the horse.
What horse?
Paul Revere rode a horse, remember? Through the countryside, shouting, "The British are coming, the British are coming."
Now, wait a minute. What does that have to do with me?
I just told you, honey. She wants you to be Paul Revere.
Never. Never.
No, she's tried everyone else. She couldn't reach people. It's such late notice. Some have gone off for the weekend. Others said they couldn't do it or they wouldn't do it.
Well, I don't want to be Paul Revere either, and I won't. No. I'd feel ridiculous. On top of everything, I'd fall off a horse.
I told you hadn't been on a horse for ages.
Well, listen, I absolutely refuse to get into that.
I tried to get you out of it. How much could I say when she's your boss's wife? I said I would ask you. That's all I said. And she was just hysterical. She said, he has to do it. I have to do it. I'll send over the costume right away. And then she just hung up.
I will quit my job before I'll doll up like Paul Revere and gallop through the countryside shouting, "The British are coming."
Well, that is up to you. But considering the unemployment situation...
Now, honey, I can't do it. I wasn't kidding. I will fall off the horse.
Darling, you don't have to gallop through the countryside. Surely you'll stay on if you just ride the horse and hang on to the saddle. Well, let me tell you what it involves anyway, while you're thinking. You start at Catonsville, ride to Whitman Corners, then pick up the old canal path right into Houston Park where the Minutemen will be assembled on the green. Now, you know where the old canal path is.
No.
Well, Mrs. Bradley's sending a map of the route, too. Oh, good heavens, don't get lost. You know what the local newspaper would do with that? Paul Revere lost, British win war, or something cute like that.
Well, I don't see why Mrs. Bradley picks on me.
Well, I knew there was something. It's a rule of the Bicentennial Committee that Paul Revere has to be someone whose ancestors actually fought in Lexington. At the meeting, she said she asked who had revolutionary ancestors, and you raised your hand.
What?
Did you? Did you?
Yes.
Well...
Yes, I did.
Yes. Well, this is typical, dear. One of your funny little jokes that backfired then. Well, call her up, admit it, and just see what she says.
I did have an ancestor who fought at Lexington.
You did? Well, you never told me that, really?
Never. You have never. You never
oh,
told me that.
Have.
Never.
I used to get so sick and tired of my Aunt Ruth boasting about it all the time. Well, maybe I didn't tell you.
Well, that's exciting. Well, there's the car stopping out in front. Must be somebody with a costume. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's your costume. Well, you'll have to make up your mind fast, dear. Oh, honey, your parents would be so proud of you.
Not if I fall off the horse.
Oh, you're not going to fall off the horse. You'll get your picture in the paper. You'll be interviewed since your ancestor did fight at Lexington. I think it is your patriotic duty, and I would be really very proud of you, honey.
Well, if you put it that way.
That's your costume. Now, Paul Revere, you get upstairs, shower and shave, and get your clothes on before the British arrive ahead of you.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
I sweep my floor, and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
You look marvelous.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I feel a little silly. His knee pants.
Shoes with the silver buckles are gorgeous.
My wig itches.
Well, it looks great. Put the hat on now. You look marvelous. I love that shirt with the big full sleeves. I wish I had one like it.
I wonder if my ancestor looked like this.
Probably.
Actually, you know something? It isn't until you get dressed up like this that you begin to understand, begin to realize about the beginning of America, how it started.
Uh-huh.
I never thought that much about it before, not really. I think Americans, most of us, take what we have for granted, pretty much, forgetting what the colonists went through.
Yes, yes, yes. Now stop looking at yourself in the mirror. Come on, you ready now so I can show your mother what you look like? Your folks came while you were showering. I didn't tell them a thing. I wanted you to surprise them.
Oh, where are they?
Well, your mother's downstairs having some lemonade. Come on, Debbie drove your dad down to the store for something while it's still open. Don't trip now going down the stairs.
No, I'll try not to. Shoes are a little big. Oh, Mother! Get a load of your baby boy.
Look at him.
Good
heavens. What are you doing in that getup?
It's
going to be Paul Revere today.
What?
Going through the countryside shouting, "The British are coming, the British are coming."
The bicentennial celebration at the park today. Day, Mother.
Well, look at you, aren't you something? But how come you're going to be Paul Revere?
Well, they asked me.
They had to have someone, Mother, who had an ancestor at Lexington.
And today I shall distinguish the family if I don't fall off that horse.
Oh, stop it. Mother, he won't fall off now. Don't worry. Anyhow, he doesn't have to ride too far.
Yes, but I don't understand why.
Mother, it's all being reenacted historically.
The Minutemen will be on the green facing the British.
Yes, I understand. I get all that. You know, I wish something... Sometimes you wouldn't treat me as though I didn't have all my marbles just because I'm over 65.
Mother, we don't...
Oh, yes, you do. But what I want to say is, if you're going to be so historical, why are you Paul Revere? I mean, why are you going to be fighting on the wrong side?
What?
What do you mean?
You know your great-great-great-grandfather was a Tory.
Tory?
Yes.
Redcoat?
Yes, he was captured and shot. Not at Lexington, but later.
Captured and shot?
Yes, dear. Oh, your Aunt Ruth always pretended otherwise, but it wasn't true. He was a Tory. And the family has never talked about it much, you know, for that reason.
A redcoat?
Better call Mrs. Bradley.
Well, if you don't say anything, she'll never know the difference. Now, we've...
No, I can't do that, no.
She won't know the difference, and it is so...
I don't care. I can't do it. I feel like a spy.
Oh, for heaven's sake, darling, a spy.
Well, a traitor, then. I would. Masquerading as Paul Revere when underneath I'm a red coat, loyal to King George.
Oh, son, it's been so long ago, it doesn't matter now.
Well, it's the whole point of the bicentennial.
An hour ago, you didn't care about the bicentennial.
Well, I do now. I mean, I care enough not to betray my country.
Oh, betray your country? Which country? England or America?
I don't know.
What are you talking about, dear?
How come that guy was a red coat and you never told me, Mother?
Well, I thought I did tell you after you grew up, but your Aunt Ruth always felt it should be a secret.
Didn't he understand what the colonies were fighting for? Liberty, freedom, no taxation without representation?
Well, he came from England. I suppose his family was still back there. He was a soldier. It was his duty to be loyal to King George.
Well, look, let's not fight the revolution all over again. Now, we've got Mrs. Bradley. I forgot to call her back and say that you'll do it.
Well, I can't do it now.
Well, you'll have to do it. Now, hello? Hello? Mrs. Yes, the costume came, dear, and he's over. What? Drummer boy came down with chicken pox.
Hey, let me have the phone. I'll explain to her exactly why I can't.
Mrs. Bradley, don't worry. I'm sure everything is going to go fine now. Don't cry. I'm sure it will. Yes, we'll be there. Goodbye, Mrs. Bradley.
Don't hang up.
She hung up. She was absolutely hysterical. Now, everything has gone wrong for that woman. Somebody has misplaced the rifles. The British have collected in the wrong park. Nobody can find the Elks drum corps for the parade. I could not tell her that you wouldn't do it. Where's your mother?
She's mad. She went outside to tell Dad all about it.
Well, apologize to her. And then let's get to Catonsville. You're due on the green at 11:35, at which time they'll fire the shot heard round the world, if they can find the rifles, I guess.
Red coat. Oh, I dressed up like Paul Revere. I do feel like a spy.
Oh, honey, well, don't tell anyone. Look at it this way. As Paul Revere, you're making up for your great-great-great-grandfather. You are loyal to the colonies.
Hey, you're right. All right, go on. Yeah. Oh, boy. I hope I stay on the horse.
Has been brought to you by the O-Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This is the Serial Network. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. The following is a paid dramatization.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
How's about a nice dish ice cream, huh? Cool you off?
Angela?
No, I don't think so. Just some iced tea, please.
And I'll have some iced coffee, Sean.
Yes, I'm on the way, on the way. Ice cream, get your fruits and fruits, ice cream.
Sean?
Sean, last name O'Reilly, or O'Leary, I can never remember which.
That's the craziest rogue I ever heard.
When everything's really slow, Sean does bits from old movies. That last, if I remember, is early Marx Brothers.
Of course. It was Tico, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, you can't be old enough to have seen it in the movie theater.
I have a confession to make, Doctor. I'm hopelessly addicted to the Late Show.
Angela, we're three blocks from the hospital, and you're a long way from being in uniform.
True.
And my name is
Marsh Marshall.
Marsh, if you're feeling friendly.
All right, Marsh.
Thank you. Well, you could call me Lover. We wouldn't have to worry about a hospital scandal. The floating rib is practically deserted this evening.
I don't come here very often, but... Well, this is the first time I've ever seen it when it didn't look like a medical convention.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we practically have the place to ourselves.
We practically have the town to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice feeling.
Oh, yes, I'm looking forward to an easy weekend. There may be some lonely patches for those of us who are left behind, but it will be peaceful.
Here we are, one ice tea and an ice coffee.
Thank you.
Grazie, paisano.
Is that the way you think of yourself, Marsh?
As one of the ones who are left behind?
Oh, no, no. I didn't mean to sound as if I were wallowing in self-pity. I was only referring to the fact that I'm going to have 2 days to catch up on my paperwork while Ginger and Betsy are getting waterlogged in a swimming pool somewhere downstate.
Oh. Must have been a last-minute decision.
Whim is more like it. Ginger started calling Resorts about 11 last night, and she and Betsy were on the train by 8 this morning. Of course, I think a couple of days' rest will do Ginger a great deal of good. If she hadn't been overtired, I'm sure she wouldn't have overreacted the way she did. You know, once she'd made up her mind to get away, even if I couldn't make it, she was like a different person.
Really?
Yeah. Well, how about you, Angela? Do you feel left behind?
Not at all. I'm going to have a chance to entertain my favorite house guest.
Oh?
Well, you know Jennifer, don't you?
Oh, of course, since she was born.
I'm taking her off Emily's hands for the night. I think it'll be a welcome change for both of us.
Oh, yes, yes, you mentioned that. Oh, Jennifer's a lovely child. I'm sure she's not a strain on Emily.
Marsh, at this point, any responsibility is a strain on Emily. Do you still think I'm exaggerating?
Well, I think you may be jumping to conclusions.
I'm forced to, since she hasn't seen a doctor. They were your words, Marsh. Someone has to make her see a doctor. Now, that was 3 days ago.
Now, look, I am not Emily Carter's physician. What can
You're her friend and her husband's friend, aren't you?
But you know that, but still...
And you're supposed to be one of the best diagnosticians within quite a few hundred miles.
Uh-huh. Which does not give me the privilege of interfering when I haven't been asked to.
I'm asking you to.
Oh, come on now. You know what I mean.
Look, we're talking about people you claim to care about. I assume you haven't even discussed what I told you with Jason.
You mean Emily's hearing music that wasn't there?
Among other things.
No, I haven't.
Why not?
Well, in the first place, you didn't ask me to. And in the second place, even if I wanted to discuss his wife with Jason, how would you suggest I go about it? I have never seen Emily professionally.
Well, now, what's more important, being professional or trying to help when you know help is needed?
I don't know that.
Well, then I have a little more evidence to give you. Susie Carter called me this afternoon. She called because she was worried, not to complain.
Mm-hmm. About what?
Emily struck her. She slapped her face in front of a group of Susie's friends.
She's... I can't believe it.
Well, I don't think Susie's lying. But I can't believe that Emily did it unless she's very close to cracking up completely. Now, will you talk to Jason?
I'll try to sound him out.
That's all you're willing to promise?
That's all I can promise, Angela. I'll do what I can. I mean, please, can't we leave it at that?
Apparently, we have to.
And since there's nothing I can do this evening, may I make a suggestion?
Of course.
Why don't we try to forget the cares of the world and escape into a movie? Not The Late Show, but a real old-fashioned movie. Popcorn, the whole bit.
I'm sorry, Marshall. I'm busy for the rest of the evening.
Oh. Well, that leaves only Saturday night and Sunday night. You don't have any night duty coming up, do you?
No, but I don't have a free evening either.
I see.
I think you'd better ask for the check, Marshal.
go. Two kids down and one to go.
Oh, good.
Say, how does a nice tall Rum Collins sound to you?
It sounds lovely. Huh? But I think I'll wait until Jennifer is gone and I can sit down and put my feet up.
Okay, dear. When's Angela coming over for her?
Well, she should have been here by now.
You, didn't ask her to stay for dinner, did you?
Well, I was going to when she got here. Why do you put it that way?
Oh, I just thought it'd be nice to be alone.
Oh, Jason. Now, look, why don't you take your drink into the living room, and I'll join you after I make sure Jennifer hasn't packed her entire wardrobe.
You know, the last time she spent the night with Angela, she packed just enough clothes for a month on safari.
That's Angela. Now, I'll get it. Coming. Oh, hi, darling. Come on in, sis. Jennifer claims that she's doing last-minute things, but I think she's been ready since noon.
Hi, Angela. Sit down. Let me get you a drink, huh?
Thank you. No, I just finished dinner.
At this hour?
Well, it wasn't social. Just a quick bite while I discussed a case with a friend.
Well, that sounds pretty dreary.
Oh, it's so good to sit down.
Say, I'd better go and give Jennifer a hand before she tries to pack a bathtub. Jennifer, are you almost ready? Your Aunt Angela's here.
Jason?
Mm-hmm.
How's Emily?
Oh, she's all right. She was under a lot of pressure trying to keep up with three courses, and she just started her graduate reading program, but she seems to be doing fine. Right now, she could use a little rest, but thanks to you, she's going to get some.
Jason, Emily's problem is not going to be solved by one good night's sleep.
What problem?
She's been acting so strangely lately that I'm convinced that something is very wrong.
You mean her flying off the handle at Susie?
Well, won't you admit that slapping Susie in a public place is completely out of character?
Angela, Emily has been under a strain. It's that simple.
Does that explain her hearing music when there isn't any?
Now, what are you talking about?
When we had lunch the other day, Emily complained of hearing something that sounded like cymbals or snare drums.
What?
I was sitting no more than 2 feet away from her, and I didn't hear a sound. I'm really worried, Jason.
Angela, I think you're jumping to some very large conclusions on a very small amount of evidence.
Well, I have more. Susie told me that Emily got into some kind of an argument with the dry cleaner last week.
Ah, Mr. Blauvelt.
Emily got so angry that when she hung up, she threw a glass ashtray into the fireplace.
Angela, I have been so angry with Mr. Blauvelt that I could barely suppress the urge to strangle.
And then Emily tried to pass the incident off as an accident. Now, look, she's obviously much more concerned about the change in her emotional behavior than she's letting us believe.
Or she was very embarrassed at losing her temper.
Oh, please, 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 Jason. Convince her that she ought to see a doctor and have a checkup.
Well, let me think about it, Angela.
Oh.
Well, whatever Emily's problem is, if she has a problem, she's hardly likely to have a medical crisis over the weekend.
Jason, you are letting the fact that you love Emily paralyze you. I'm beginning to understand why doctors don't treat members of their families. They're incompetent to.
Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This is the Serial Network, a division of DCA Productions.